America is graying, and our part of America may be graying just a little faster. The median age in the country is certainly on the rise. The baby boom generation is now retiring from work. And our region is a popular place for retirees to head, with somewhat lower housing costs and a relatively mild climate and a few other amenities. We'll talk about those other amenities now. Livability and mobility are issues for seniors, issues tracked by the senior advocacy organization AARP. AARP hosts a forum tomorrow in Medford on livability solutions. For that, we turn to Jana Linett, who is the senior advisor at the AARP, a senior advisor at the AARP Public Policy Institute. Jana, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi there.
Hi. So baby boomers were once described, and perhaps not the nicest way in the world, as a bulge akin to a pig in a python. How much bigger a percentage of the population are we talking about soon to be retired?
Well, just to put the aging demographic into perspective, by 2030, the population 65 and older in our country is going to more than double. 10,000 boomers turn 65 every day in this country. That's a lot of birthday cakes and a lot of candles being blown out all over the country.
Wow, so 10,000 turn 65 every day.
Yeah, and you mentioned this is not the pig in the python. This is not a momentary change in our demographic makeup in the country. This is a permanent change, and that's due to increasing longevity and lower birth rates. So even once the boomers move, you know, past the, you know, age of 65, normally defined as retirement age, but certainly not so much anymore, and move into that older age bracket, and my generation, the Generation X, moves up, we're still going to see a very large percentage of people 65 and older throughout. And that stays true even as the millennials, you know, come up in age as well. So this is something that our communities really are going to be grappling with for decades. And the sooner we get started as communities to really plan for the needs of older adults, I think the better that we're able to position our communities to really serve the needs of people of all ages, as well as be able to really take advantage of some of the economic benefits of building livable communities.
Let's talk first about some of the obvious things that a lot of communities might be missing. I mean, what are the ways in which you just begin to make the community a little friendlier to older people?
Well, what I'll be talking about tomorrow in Medford is the need to really invest in walkable communities and in healthy communities, and pulling land use practices together with transportation investments so that people are able to get to the services, jobs, places they want to go that in much shorter distances, really even within the neighborhood, by really trying to revitalize some of our older downtowns, fill in some of the suburban areas that we have around the country, as well as invest in our cities. So those are some of the principles. But at AARP, we also like to stress it's not just about the physical environment, but it's also about the social environment and making sure that when you're doing community events, that your older people in the community know that they've got the invitation to show up and be part of that civic and social life of the community. So all of these things need to work together.
When you say that you got to make sure they know, I mean, is there often something of an exclusionary nature to events now, or do people just not reach out in ways that seniors will be likely to find them?
Yeah, I think so often a lot of the marketing around some of the, say, downtown summer Fridays where you have the concert in the park, a lot of that marketing is more directed toward younger people. And I think the older people in the community, they also want to feel that they're part of the community. And so a special invitation that, you know, maybe we're going to have some health promotion set up downtown, or, you know, dancing to different eras of music, all of that can really provide some of that social atmosphere for people of all ages.
Is some of that just a general sort of looking at seniors as not the people who spend the most money? I mean, when you advertise a beer fest, you're going to expect a lot of people in their 20s and 30s to show up in a downtown area, for example, and maybe not so many people over 60, but that might not necessarily be true. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems like in our economy, we tend to assume that most of the spending is going to happen years earlier than your senior years.
Well, I think in reality, that is not true, and I'm not an expert in this area, but my colleague, Jody, who will be speaking at tomorrow's event as well, talks about the longevity economy. And really that notion that people over 50 contribute tremendously to the overall economy in terms of the income they pull in, the money they spend out there in communities. And for communities to kind of neglect that, it's really missing the opportunity to keep some of those dollars at home.
Jana Linitz, a senior advisor at the AARP Public Policy Institute. AARP is hosting a Livability Solutions Forum in Medford tomorrow. You can join us now on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about ways in which we can make communities more livable and make mobility more of an issue, or less of an issue, I suppose, for seniors in their communities. Join us at 800-838-3760, by phone around the region, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Feel free to share your stories if you are a senior, about things that are issues in your own town. Again, 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Do particularly the mobility issues, Jana, become more acute as the years go by? It seems like there's even a shorter list of transportation options available for people outside of major urban areas.
Yeah, transportation is really one of the most sought after services among older adults and their families. It's particularly challenging in smaller towns and rural areas, but there are many communities who are kind of stepping up to the plate and finding ways to expand their services to older adults. But just to kind of put things in perspective, one out of every five Americans 65 and older does not drive. And so that becomes a real challenge for when it is time to hang up the car keys. How am I going to get around? Or how will I get mom to the doctors? And what we're seeing is really the importance of not only fixed route public transportation in our towns and cities, but also more specialized services such as Dial-A-Ride that will come to your house and pick you up and take you directly to where you need to go. And there are, you know, communities out there that are, even despite stagnating funding at the, you know, federal and state levels and really local levels, they're finding new ways to tap into other resources in the community to continue to provide services to seniors.
It seems like the sharing economy might help you in that department, in the sense that we're getting things like the ride-sharing services. Granted, they don't tend to show up in small towns yet, but, you know, similar, smaller iterations of those are still possible. I guess the trick then would be making sure that people have access to the internet to be able to take care of these services or get into these services.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of change, even in rural areas, over the coming decade. It's really an exciting time. You know, we've in the past, you know, 5 years even, have gone in our urban areas to where people used to kind of have to be an insider to use public transportation, because it wasn't easy to really understand where the buses go and where they stop and what's the schedule. Now all you need to do is type in your origin destination into Google Maps, and it spits out the transit schedule for you and where gives you a map of the bus stop. Well, I think we're going to start to be able to see some of these types of services in more rural areas. And what the transit community is currently working on is for the demand responsive transportation system to be able to upload its service data information into this national Google Transit database, so that someone from a small town could say, I'm here at this address in Medford and I want to go to the neighboring town. What are my choices? And eventually, what I hope is that individual may be offered three different choices. It could be, you know, the shuttle bus in the community where you're sharing a ride on public transportation at a certain cost, or a more specialized service door to door, or even sort of tapping into the private sector, whether that be a taxi cab company or driver, or even a transportation network company, if we can, you know, if Uber or some of the other TNCs come into the smaller towns and find a way to do that profitably.
But a way to display the whole menu of what you have available to
you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, too often these specialized services are not very convenient for people to schedule rides. They have to make reservations 24, 48 hours in advance. And people really don't live their lives like that. We're a much more spontaneous society. And I think the technology is coming. It's going to allow us to do things more on the fly and live life in the way that we really want to.
All right, let's take some calls. We have Jim in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jana Linet. We're talking livability and mobility for seniors.
Yes, one of the things I ran into, we have a new clinic, northwest part of Grants Pass, no public transportation available within blocks of it. When I talked to a city council person, they said, well, they should have put in for something. I said, no. When they were put in for the thing, public transportation should be as much as water, sewer, and everything else. Then we'll give you the permit to build the thing. And that's what's missing. Too many of the planning commissions are still back in the old 20th century. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. So that's an interesting concept he comes up with, the idea that you need to be able to hook up to utilities, you need to be able to hook up to transportation as well.
That's actually one of the biggest frustrations of many transit providers, in that they're sort of left out of that land use planning process. And then the town council makes a decision to locate a new clinic on the edge of town where transit service is not currently extended, and they kind of expect transit to show up and provide that service, and yet it's very expensive to expand out. And so one of the things we're really pushing is that coordination of land use and transportation planning so that these types of decisions can be made with more clarity of what the community needs.
All right. Transportation, you really struck a chord here, because we had another email here from Mike in Medford. He says, I work heavily with Bike Ped in Medford. A big problem here is the engineers seem to have a 1950s view of streets. They seem to believe everyone, especially seniors, will only drive places. We have 2,600 parking spots downtown. Do we need new engineers, or what can we do?
Well, we have been, AARP has been collaborating with many organizations and pushing for more walkable communities and pushing for the concept of complete streets, which essentially says that we design and build our streets for all users, regardless of how they choose to get around, regardless of age, regardless of ability. And when you really make a commitment to doing things in that way, you start to see many, many benefits. One, your community becomes more walkable. You see more people out getting the exercise they need for their health, more people biking. Also, those types of pedestrian investments can be also be investments in the public transportation system. People are more easily able to access bus stops, et cetera. And it also is done in a way that respects the driver. This is not about saying no to driving, and it's also about meeting the needs of older drivers as well, to make sure that there are design measures that go in that accommodate some of the age-related changes that affect driving. So, for instance, one of the examples I like to use in my Complete Streets presentations is that we want to have enough turning radius to make it easy for drivers to get around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Also benefits large vehicles such as buses and trucks. But at the same time, if we make it too big, the average driver is just going to speed around that corner too fast and really put the pedestrian at risk. So what we found is if you actually paint bike lanes on your street, you're able to give the driver this image that it's a much more narrow, constrained area to turn. They slow their speeds down, and yet for different users, there is still that radius to make that turn.
So the pavement is just as wide as it ever was. It's just
exactly.
You're painting the space differently.
Exactly.
All right.
And a lot of those types of measures can be done for the benefit of all users. Also, we're really do understand that the highest and best use of a downtown area is not a surface parking lot. Millions of dollars in potential taxable revenue is lost in parking. So you do want to look at how do we fill in those spots with mixed-use development and bringing services, bringing homes, bringing offices to those centralized locations so that you start building these types of livable communities.
Another call here from Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking senior livability with Jana Linet from AARP.
Yeah, a great show, and I love all the ideas that are being expressed. And I'd like to add something that something that really concerns me is the age segregation our society has created between the older and the younger. And there are some pretty creative ways of of helping break down those kind of barriers. I myself live in a community that's dedicated. You have to be 62 in order to live here. And I really wish there were families living here with young children. I've been working with young children for a few years now, and I find that it helps me feel like I'm about 10 years younger at least. Mm-hmm. And I believe I heard of a place in Portland that will set college-age kids up with give them free housing if they live and help with older people who could use the help. And in Seattle, there is a community where they create a community where in the middle of a senior retirement place, they built a preschool. And so there's interaction between the preschoolers and the seniors, and it's just absolutely wonderful.
Okay, let's get some response here. We've got about a minute left. Thanks for that, Sandy. Appreciate it. So, Jana, what do you hear about situations where you get seniors maybe in their own communities, but you also provide other age groups and other interactions?
Yeah, one thing we know from our own research at AARP, as well as a recent survey that was just released by the Urban Land Institute, 80% of Americans want to live in communities that have a diversity of ages. So this is something that people are looking for, and communities are starting to respond. The example I'm aware of in Portland is a new accessory dwelling unit ordinance that allows people to build, sometimes they're called granny flats, but they're basically second units on their single-family home properties in a basement as part of a garage, as a part of a separate structure that will allow people to either supplement their income by renting it out at a lower cost, or move into as they want to downsize to the larger single-family home.
All right. Interesting to hear of all the things that are going on to make sure that as the population continues to age, that we come up with livability solutions for them all. Livability Solutions Forum in Medford tomorrow, AARP, one of the major sponsors. Jana Linant is a senior advisor with AARP's Public Policy Institute. Thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right. Take care.